We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this. What is this, you might ask? Well, this is the podcast known as What's the Good Word. Think of it as the buffet available to all you Atlanta sports fans out there. If you want to come up, you want to get some mac and cheese, we got that when we talk about the Falcons. You want to come up and get some rib roast, you want to get a little meat, a little steak, we got that when we talk about the Braves. You want to come up and you want to get like the most delectable chicken that you have ever tried, we got that when we talk about Georgia Tech. And then you want to come up, maybe get some mashed potatoes, some greens, you know, a little something nicer. We have that. We talk about the Hawks. We talk about all the major sports teams here. And that's what we're here to provide at What's the Good Word. But today, we're talking about the Falcons at the beginning of the week. That is our routine. And it's one of the best weeks in modern football. This is like my Christmas. The NFL draft is at the end of this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we've been talking nonstop about the draft for about a month. So we're going to wrap it up today. I have not one, but two mock drafts to kind of break down for you from very esteemed writers over at The Athletic. And then we're going to talk about some other prospects and my homework that I've been doing on this NFL draft and all the scouting profiles I've read and some of the tape that I've watched. I've found a couple guys in other position groups that I really, really like, and even some guys in previous position groups that we've talked about. So I'm going to mention some names, probably one per position group, and then we'll go from there, right? Just I don't want to overload you with information. Don't want to go crazy on you there, but we're going to be a lot of names mentioned. And then next week we'll be back and we'll break down the draft class and who is the newest Falcons. So getting right into it, the first mock draft is from Dane Brugler, the main NFL draft analysis analyzer over at the Athletic in their NFL department. He writes The Beast every year, where it's like a ton of profiles and all this stuff. So, in his mock draft, at number 8, he has the Atlanta Falcons. This is the most popular pick that you'll see now, taking Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Overall, you know, again, to me, good pick. Falcons had 42 sacks last season, was double from the previous season, but also still 21st in the NFL, which goes to show just how bad the Falcons' pass rush was about 2 years ago. But they haven't been top 20 in sacks since 2017, and since 2011, they've only been top 20 twice. So it's not a great day for the Falcons pass rush, but picking up a guy like Dallas Turner has a very legitimate argument for top pass rusher in this class. He's a fantastic athlete. He comes out of Alabama, so he's well coached. He's got some moves. He's strong. He can play in the run as well, so he's not just like a third down only guy. Yeah, like I said, just a good overall prospect, a great mixture of fit and best player available. I have no problems with that pick. That is probably the pick that you will see the most if you start reading mock drafts. In the second round, he has the Falcons taking Mike Hall out of Ohio State, defensive tackle. We haven't talked about him on the show, but he's 6'3", 299. Brugler's got him 5th on his big board. I've seen him as high as like 2 or 3. But he's got long arms, good power. He's really good at pushing the pocket. He is kind of one of those. You'll notice in this draft class, I've noticed it at least doing my homework on it, the defensive line class, there aren't a lot of big guys. There aren't a lot of space eaters left on the defensive line. It's a lot of guys that hover around that 310 to 295 range. And when they say they're undersized, like, well, that's apparently everybody now. He did play in a four-man front in college, so it'll be interesting to see how he would fit in a three-man if the Falcons take him. Brugler's quoted as saying he could potentially drop weight and be a linebacker, like a stand-up linebacker. So he probably won't be a nose tackle, but, yeah, he might also just be used at the defensive end spots, like rotating in with Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, and Zach Harrison. So the Falcons still kind of need that middle of the line gap plugger, but Mike Hall could become one of the rotational guys with them. I mean, like I said, he's a very talented player. It's just he's a weird fit for the Falcons. So if it was me, I wouldn't go for it. Third round, though, the Falcons take somebody that I have come around on, and that is Kamari Lassiter out of the University of Georgia. Now, this is a Georgia Tech podcast to start. Still a Georgia Tech fan at heart. can't necessarily throw too much compliments over UGA's way, but they do have a very good football program. And Kamari Laster is a very good player. It would be the first time that Georgia Tech or the Falcons hilariously do not take a lot of UGA players. They took Justin Schaefer and John Fitzpatrick a couple years ago, but those were in the sixth round. They haven't really taken a ton of big time guys. They've only taken a Georgia player in the third round or higher only twice. And the last one was Akeem Dent in 2011. But Kamari Laster would fill a need. He's 5'11", 187 pounds, the 10th-ranked cornerback in Brugler's big board. Could definitely play outside. He's not an elite physical specimen, but he's really good, got good play recognition, he's real competitive. I think he's shown a level of ball skills. It's just he would be a solid rotational guy. I don't necessarily think he would come in, and he would at least have a shot to start at the number two spot, but I don't know if he would have the inside track. But he's at least a good investment. And then the other third-round pick, the Falcons take Devontez Walker out of North Carolina, the wide receiver. 6'1", 193. He ran a 4.36 40, which is the big notable part in his drafting. He is a pure deep threat. He's a vertical guy. His route tree is a little unrefined. He's very much a linear guy. It's, you know, hooks, curls, goes, anything that involves breaking in and out. He isn't there just yet. And his hands aren't the greatest, especially over the middle, but he's a good ball tracker. He's good at kind of tracking the ball over his shoulder, which is what the Falcons probably need. I mean, I do like the Darnell Mooney signing, but I don't expect Mooney to be here for more than, you know, the 3 years on the contract, probably even less. So Devontez Walker gives you a good developmental guy. And with his size and speed, if you can work on the feet, kind of get the route running up the speed and add a couple tools to that tool bag, you could be looking at a really good number two receiver on that outside. So in the fourth round, he has the Falcons taking Delmar Glaze out of Maryland, 6'4", 315. He played tackle in college, but looks like he's going to move to guard. He's not the greatest athlete, which is why he would be kicking inside. But and it might scare a couple people considering the experience that the Falcons did have with one Jalen Mayfield, he who shall not be named, for lack of a better term. But when you look into him, when you look at the scouting report on him, you know, again, he's still big. He's not the fastest, but he knows how to square people up. He's got good hand carriage, real good strikes. He's strong, and really good at anchoring down, hardening his edges. I think some of his biggest issues, like the weaknesses of the adequate foot quickness, the twitch, the range, I think it'll kind of be dissipated if you move him inside. At least there's a chance. So not a bad shot in the fourth round to at least get some depth on the inside. And then the next pick, fifth round, Tyke Smith out of Georgia. Another UGA player, but this one, again, depth guy. I would imagine he'd kind of be taking the Richie Grant role in a year or two. He's 5'10", 202 pounds, played his final three seasons at Georgia. Played the nickel a lot, but he does show the ability to kind of play sort of all over the place. He's like a chess piece. He's not really elite at anything. He's kind of good to very good at a lot of things. But, you know, again, solid depth piece, at least would help on special teams for that first season. Sixth round, where the Falcons have two picks. The first pick in the sixth round, he has the Falcons taking Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. 5'11", 206 pounds at the running back position. He doesn't have a verified 40-yard dash time, but on tape, he's real fast. He has had some injury problems here and there. He was out for a year or two. I think he's an older back, but he would at least provide a change of pace guy. I would imagine he's more of a third down pass catching back. And also a potential, you know, kick returner. Although if Avery Williams comes back healthy, I would imagine that he has that spot locked down, as well as that third down back position, or, you know, a change of pace back, for lack of a better term. So that's more a depth one. The most fascinating one in this draft to me is the last sixth round pick. Brugler has the Falcons taking Joe Milton out of Tennessee. And Joe Milton is the most fascinating developmental quarterback prospect in this class, because Joe Milton, if you were to show up and just watch him work out in compression shorts and a tank top, you'd be convinced that you're looking at a future franchise quarterback. He's 6'5", 246 pounds, ran a 4.62 40. He can also throw the ball 80 yards in the air. So he's got a howitzer for an arm. He's got the best arm in the class, and it's not really, I don't want to say it's not close, but it's kind of very much agreed upon. And again, he's got the size, he's got the look, he's got the strength. The issue is almost everything else. He's been in college for like 5-6 years at both Michigan and Tennessee. He's never really been an efficient college passer. He's always struggled with processing. He's struggled with touch. Everything's a fastball. There's very little layering. He struggles with, you know, again, defensive recognition, processing at the line of scrimmage. There's just a lot of holes in his game. What's interesting is that in Brugler's evaluation, some teams believe he's going to eventually transition to tight end, so the Falcons might just be taking Felipe Franks 2.0 here. But if you can get him in and at least work on him a little bit with the processing, again, he's got all the physical talent in the world. It's just kind of the mental side and the finer points. He's really good at the physical aspects. He is not good at the smaller stuff that you kind of need to succeed in the NFL. So that is the Brugler mock draft. Now we move on to the Josh Kendall mock draft. Josh Kendall, the beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons at The Athletic, he did his own mock draft, and his was different. He traded back. He took pick number 8 and the fourth round pick number 109, traded it to the Raiders in exchange for their number 13, so the Falcons move back 5 spots. And to move back 5 spots and give up their fourth rounder, they get the Raiders 2025 first round pick. He makes the point of even, you know, the Raiders would probably be making this jump to get a quarterback, probably would not be great next year, so there's a chance that you get a top 10 pick out of it, which I can't argue with that reasoning. But they end up taking Quinyon Mitchell in this mock draft, the cornerback out of Toledo. We've talked about him on this show. He's a very good talent outside. He talks about the reason he doesn't go Dallas Turner is that it seems like not everyone in the NFL is sold on Dallas Turner. They say he's not aggressive. It is what it is. I like Quinyon Mitchell because I think he's a really good number 2 corner. I think there's a chance for him to kind of be a mid-tier CB1 in the NFL. He's got decent ball skills, great speed, size athlete, and he's played a lot of off coverage at Toledo, but at the Senior Bowl, he played a ton of one-on-one against some guys, and he was the best cornerback there by far. It wasn't really close. So I think he can kind of flip between man and zone capably, and again, really fixes that hole. So then in the round 2, Falcons fix the other hole by taking Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. 6'4", 247. He's a really good athlete. He's Brugler's number 7 edge rusher on their big board. Would join former teammate Arnold Abichetti on the edge. 7.5 sacks last year. He spent most of his career at Penn State. He's got real good length, energy, athletic tools. He's got the tools, right? He's got the tools in the toolbox. He's just not the most polished yet, but he shows the flashes of being a polished guy. He shows the flashes of being able to put it all together. And he projects best as a standing linebacker in a 3-4, which is exactly what the Falcons are going to be playing under Jimmy Lake. So a good upside, like I would say medium floor, high ceiling prospect right there. In the third round at number 74, he has the Falcons taking Ricky Pearsall, the 6'1", 191-pound wide receiver out of Florida. He ran a 4.41 40, 42-inch vertical jump, has one of the craziest catches you will ever see. If you go on Twitter or any social media, look up Ricky Pearsall catch. He's got some insane catches, but he did have 98 catches last year for 9 touchdowns. Or at Florida over the last 2 years, only 3 drops, great hands. Good route quickness and good ball skills. He's going to be a bit of a deep guy, but he also is able to kind of work inside, outside. Just a solid all-around receiver prospect. Not necessarily going to blow you away with a ton, but he's a real gritty guy. Bleacher Report in their scouting of him in their draft profile, if you need like a reference point, they compare him to Kenny Stills of, you know, New Orleans Saints fame. So not a bad pick. Second, third round pick, he has the Falcons taking Mason Smith out of LSU. Once again, this is the biggest upside downside pick. Mason Smith has every physical tool in the book. He's 6'5", 306 pounds, 35-inch arms, looks like a freak in nature. The issue is he is very, very unpolished, partially because he played as a freshman, but he did not play as a sophomore. He got hurt, and then this past year, he
kind of was in and out of the lineup. He was a rotational guy. He's got great size, great movement skills, great pop in the hands on contact, but he doesn't have the greatest technique. His block recognition, his rush plan, all well below average, partially because he just hasn't gotten the reps. So if you bring him in and you give him maybe a year or two, there's always a chance that he could become that middle of the defensive line guy that the Falcons are looking for, who could push the pocket and also play the run really well. It'll be up to a great coaching staff, and the Falcons would definitely be taking on a project. But if the project works out, it could be well worth the third-round pick. So with no fourth-round pick, the next pick would be the fifth round for the Falcons, and Kendall has him taking Tommy Eichenberg out of Ohio State. He's a depth linebacker. You know, the Falcons do have Troy Anderson, Nate Landman, and Caden Ellis all coming back, but there's not much after that, and playing a 3-4, you are going to have two guys out there at all times. Eichenberg's a heady five-year college player at Ohio State. He's not going to really cover the pass. He'll be a two-down linebacker. I'd be willing to bet it would kind of be him and Landman on run downs, and then Anderson and Ellis on pass downs. Or he kind of rotates in and out with Landman. He's not going to be a pass guy. He does not cover in man coverage, does not cover in zone, does not have the physical abilities, but he does have pursuit. He knows pursuit angles. He's really good key read flow, football character. He'll be a special teams guy if you bring him in, really. That's kind of what you'd be looking for there. Sixth round, he has the Falcons taking Caden Wallace out of Penn State. 6'5", 314 pounds. Looks like he could just kind of be a depth guy on the line. He's played tackle at Penn State, but he could also kick inside to guard. He's the 14th ranked offensive tackle in this draft, according to Brugler. That would be a great pickup in the sixth round. He's a smooth athlete, wide base, good hands, real physical, good at finishing. Brugler even says it wouldn't be a surprise to see him starting as a rookie at right tackle or potentially inside at guard. So depth, right? If Caleb McGarry doesn't work out in the new scheme, you could always try Caden Wallace out there. If McGarry does work and you just need depth, Caden Wallace can kind of become your four-position swing guy. Whoever gets hurt, unless it's the center, whoever gets hurt, you can kind of put Caden Wallace in. And then the final pick out of Washington, they take Dominique Hampton, safety. He is he's undisciplined in man coverage, first thing that you read about him, but he's a good size, speed athlete, good player from zone, explosive striker. He's a third safety on a team, all three levels of the field can be impacted, probably more of a gunner, special team standout. So I would imagine they kind of bring him in as the run stopper safety if you have him playing. Kind of like a lesser version of DeMarco Helms maybe, but you wouldn't expect him to necessarily take a starting spot. He'd just kind of rotate in, almost like a third linebacker to kind of have around the line of scrimmage who can pursue and keep up with running backs out of the backfield. So that is the two mock drafts that we are looking at for the Falcons. You know, again, as long as they plug the defensive holes, that's kind of what we're looking for in this class, right? So with that being said, we're going to transition into the JJ sleepers, guys that I have picked up on my doing my homework on this draft, guys that the Falcons should be looking for in some of the later rounds.
So basically, for this segment of the show, I'm going to go through each position group, and I'm going to give like one guy that isn't normally, they're not really first-round prospects. The draft range will range from like the second round to the fifth or sixth round, but it's guys that I've kind of circled like, hey, if the Falcons pick them up, it would be interesting to me. I really like what I'm seeing here. So starting with quarterback, Spencer Rattler, and I'm not alone in this. He's kind of become the dark horse to sneak into the first round. Outside of the 6 feet, 211-pound frame, I really like everything else that is there. I think he's a good developmental prospect, especially outside of the top, you know, six other quarterbacks. He's got a great arm. You know, that's kind of been evident ever since he played at Oklahoma. Really good velocity and control, and he's really good at throwing from awkward platforms as well. Like, he's got the ability to kind of change his arm angle, get it out when he needs to. Tough in the pocket. He's got good accuracy to all levels, and he's very, very aggressive. It's just the build. He's not the greatest athlete. Like, his 40-yard dash was close to 5 seconds. So he's not exactly... He scrambles a lot, but he's not going to be, like, a super effective scrambler, if you know what I mean. He's aggressive, but he's also reckless. So it's sort of like learning to walk that fine line will be one of the more important things. And his processing kind of comes and goes. He's good at seeing what's there, but sometimes he's stubborn, reckless, sticks with that pre-snap read regardless of what it looks like. But in 2023, like this past year, he threw for over 3,000 yards at South Carolina, 19 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He has 42 career starts. He was a first-team All-Big 12 in 2020. I like what his potential would be. He would, and bringing him into Atlanta would be perfect because he would sit behind Kirk Cousins for a year or two, and you could hopefully kind of iron it out, similar to like Jordan Love coming out of Utah State, right? His player comparison is Jay Cutler. If that scares you or helps you in the end, after the top six, right? After you get past Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., and then you get Spencer Rattler, it just falls off a cliff. Then you're talking about Michael Pratt and Keaton Slovis and Joe Milton, and it's just, there's significant questions with guys like that. So with the running back room, the one that I circled, in all fairness, I didn't look too deep into the running back room because the Falcons have two starters already. I don't think they're going to be looking for a running back necessarily, but I circled Bucky Irving out of Oregon, 5'9", 192. He's a pure third down back. The big thing is he's a very good high volume pass catcher, did have some yards after the catch juice, and there is some running ability there. He's good in short areas. He's really fast, great acceleration. He's just, his size limits him from ever being a lead back. He's not the strongest, and it's all stuff that I think wouldn't necessarily be a big issue if he was just a pass catching back, which I think the Falcons could use kind of in the rotation in case Bijan needs a break. Wide receiver wise, Jermaine Burton stood out to me, and this is a guy that I didn't really, even though he played at Alabama, I didn't watch a ton of him, but his, just like kind of looking into him a little bit deeper, I like the overall sort of floor here. So he is 6 foot, 196, ran a 4.45 40. He's also a good route runner. He's got real good quick feet. And his hands and hand-eye coordination really stood out. Really good at adjusting to the ball in the air, really good at catching away from his body. And he's good at kind of working with the play. If a guy's scrambling, he's good at kind of working with the quarterback, getting to an open spot. He's just not the strongest player. His route running, especially getting in and out of his breaks, isn't the greatest. And his yards after the catch leaves a little to be desired. But as a vertical specialist who can kind of work the middle of the field as well, I think he's a solid potential wide receiver too. Field stretching one, kind of a good guy to have next to Darnell Mooney, who would be a little bit smaller. So this, having Burton out there with Mooney, you would have two fast guys. One, both of them can take the top off of defense, but one can work more of the middle compared to Doug Baldwin, if that means anything to you. Doug Baldwin, very, very good wide receiver for a while there. When it came to the tight ends, again, I didn't look too deep into this because the Falcons already had Kyle Pitts. I figure the tight ends that will be used, I don't think they'll be huge in this new offense. But I circled Tip Raymond out of Illinois. He's just an absolute unit, like 6'5", 270, with a 4.64 40-yard dash as well. He's already a good blocker, good technique, good power. And he's really coordinated for a big guy with some explosiveness to him. He's not super fast, right? I mean, obviously, because he's 270 pounds. And he's not as much of a vertical ball winner as you would expect, but I feel like he could at least be a large man in the middle of the offense that can get you a couple yards here and there, and you can keep on the field to help block. So at least, you know, depth, right? Offensive tackle, Brandon Coleman was the guy that I circled, and he's out of TCU, 6'5", 313 pounds, got a big, thick frame, big hands, long arms, real good strike, accurate, knows how to fit his hands, and he hits people. I mean, he is strong, but and some of his negatives that you look into, part of it was in 2023 he was battling through some injuries, specifically. They don't mention it. Never mind. But his feet tend to get stuck, and his outside hand is kind of too far or down the middle of rushers, so they can kind of beat him. But I think it's small stuff that you can kind of work on. You can work with him through. But he was a 3-year starter in the offense, and he's a really good run blocker already at worst. I think you bring him in, and he can kind of be the backup to Caleb McGarry, and end up being a similar guy to Caleb if you ever want to move on. And at worst, you can also play guard a little bit if you need him to. He's compared to Jalen Moore. graded as a fourth round guy. I see him as similar to, we were talking about Caden Wallace in the mock draft. I think he's similar to Caden Wallace in a lot of ways. On the interior, if you're looking at guards, center wise, I love Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. I think I've talked about him, but he probably won't get past like the second round. So other than that, Christian Mahogany out of Boston College, 6'3", 314 guard. He is just strong. I mean, he is looking to hurt people. Violent, jarring, rattling power, physical playing style, bully mentality. That's the stuff I look for on my interior offensive lineman. And then on top of that, he's an asset as a puller and on screens with strong hands, recovery quickness. The issues are footwork and strike timing on post-snap movement. He bites on some stutters and hesitations. And he needs to be more patient, which I'm completely cool with. I would much rather take in a guy that's aggressive and kind of pull him back than try to force somebody else to be more aggressive. So as a depth guy on the guard, three-year starter at Boston College, I do really like him if he's available and you feel like he's the best player out there. I think he could really be a guy to compete with. He could be a good guy to have compete with Matthew Bergeron. Sorry, his name was escaping me in that moment. So on the D-line, the main guy that I have circled on my end is Justin Ebwugbe out of Alabama. He's very similar to Quan Graham in a lot of ways. I think that he would just be good to have as a rotational nose tackle in the 3-4. Really good run stopper. He's great against combo blocks, double teams, really strong at the point of attack, and makes tackles with offensive linemen on him. So as a line holder who can kind of hold up against one to two guys blocking him and still contain the run, I think that's a great pickup. Edge rusher-wise, Javon Solomon out of Troy. This is one that I found I really like. The biggest issue with him is he's 6 foot, 247 pounds, so he's probably maxed out as he can't really add a ton of size. But he sets up his pass rush as well. He's got great use of hands, which anybody coming out of college that has that, I already love. He also has good bend around the edge, and he's not afraid to throw his body around as a run defender. So I think that at worst, he's a third down specialist because he doesn't have a ton of room to kind of beef up. But as a pass rushing specialist, like just this past year, he had 16 sacks, 18 tackles for loss. I really like the base here. You could potentially get away with him as a run defender. If he's just a third down guy, that's fine because he's got every tool in the toolbox to be an effective third down pass rusher. In the linebacker room, I'm looking at James Williams out of Miami. 6'4", 231. He was a safety coming out of high school, or he's a safety in college, I believe. A five-star recruit either way. He was the number one safety recruit, and he's already added 15 pounds from his 2023 roster weight with long arms on top of that. He's got 33 5/8-inch arms. Real fast, loves to hit, good route recognition considering his safety background, fluid hips and coverage, good acceleration, and the speed to kind of range around. He's just raw, right? Because he's played a lot of safety, and his change of direction skills aren't the greatest. His instincts are a work in progress. I think if you bring him in as at least a pass coverage guy, you could kind of develop everything else. He's got every athletic tool that you would want in a linebacker, especially a modern day linebacker, without giving up size. I think that's a worthwhile thing to kind of work on and develop. Cornerback wise, I'm still working my way through, but Nehemiah Pritchett was the one that stood out to me out of Auburn. 6 foot, 190, ran a 4.3, 6.40. Real long arms, good in press, great top end speed to kind of carry people, and good at playing the quarterback's eyes. He's just a little too handsy. Not a great tackler. I think that's stuff that you can work on and fix. And that's if you're taking them late. If I'm the Falcons, I'm looking more to take a Kyrie Jackson, a TJ Tampa, a Cam Hart. I'm looking to get a cornerback early. But if you're looking at him late, him or Max Melton out of Rutgers, who I've talked about before, those are the two guys that I've circled. The safety class isn't great, I'll be honest, and I haven't looked too deep into him. The big one that I've circled is Cole Bishop out of Utah. That's the one that I really like, and I hope we take if we're looking at safety. 6'2", 206, 4.45 speed with a 39-inch vertical. He can play all three levels. He's really instinctual, great vision, and he's a great tackler. He just doesn't have necessarily sideline to sideline range all the time, and dropping in coverage, there's a level of stiffness, but he contributed on all three levels at Utah. I trust Utah guys. He's got a high football IQ. I think he could at least be a rotational guy, maybe even take Richie Grant's spot. So I threw a lot of names at you, and there's plenty more that I could talk about. I'm not going to bore you, though. If you want to do your own homework, you can, but the draft is coming up, so next episode, we'll be talking about who the Falcons did end up taking, and if I thought they were good picks, bad picks, where do they fit on the teams? But that's for next week. We've got plenty of other stuff coming in this coming week. The Braves are on a good stretch. We'll see if we have anything new to talk about with the Hawks, considering there's not exactly a ton. It'll probably be an NFL or an NBA draft primer. And then you've got the Georgia Tech coming off spring practice, plenty of guys in the portal. So that's what you're here for. That's what What's the Good Word is here for, the one-stop shop for anything and everything related to Atlanta sports. That's going to do it for today's show, and there's only one way to end the show. It's a question that you should know the answer to. You can look it up. It's in the fight song. What's the good word?